from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Settlers, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes. Great to have you with us today. So there's a lot going on. We've been following breaking news from all across the country. And at this very moment, Kristi Noem is holding a press conference regarding what happened yesterday in Minneapolis. And this is going to get ugly, folks. Very ugly, very fast. And last night, lots of protests, thousands of these radical leftists, these loons, taking to the streets, protesting law enforcement. Now, many of you have already seen the videos of what happened. If you haven't, I would encourage you to go to my website, toddstarnes.com. We have all the videos there. We have several angles of the incident involving the ICE agents and this 37-year-old lesbian woman who was driving an SUV. And I'm curious to hear from you today because there are even some Republicans suggesting that the ICE agent should not have opened fire on this woman. And my question is, what would you have done in a similar circumstance? What would you have done if you had been staring down a crazed lesbian driver who was about to run you over? What would you have done? Now, we've heard from the mayor, Jacob Fry, Tampon Tim, and those two guys, they ought to be removed from office. I mean, that's the bottom line. Their behavior yesterday was insane and off the charts and completely unacceptable for elected leaders. And we had a conversation about this last night on Newsmax, and Dalton Glasscock, who runs my company, also is a member of the city council in Wichita, said it was just insane that anybody would use their platform as an elected leader to basically pour gasoline on an already burning fire. And that's exactly what they did. They know what they were doing yesterday. Because, you see, the Democrats are looking for something. They're looking for an issue that they can use to draw attention away from the economy, to draw attention away from all of the great successes of the America First movement. They're looking for something to turn the attention of the national media away from all the good that is happening, all the great things that are happening in this country, so that if they can use that as a hammer, as a mallet, and beat Donald J. Trump and the administration over the head with it. So my question is, what would you have done? You're an ICE agent, you're standing there, and you're giving orders to someone to turn off their vehicle and to step out of their vehicle, and instead they put that car in reverse, and then they slam on the brakes, put it in drive, hit the gas, and they try to run you over. What would you have done in that kind of a situation? What would you have done? So I want to go through the facts. I think that's an important thing to do, right? I think we need to understand the story. We need to understand exactly what happened and what led up to the events of yesterday afternoon. No doubt a great tragedy occurred. No doubt about that. Not disputing that at all. It was a terrible tragedy. It was a terrible thing that happened. But here's what we can tell you, is that the activist who was shot, 37 years old, she was there with her wife, and the wife was filming all of these encounters. She had been there all day, hunting down these ICE agents, stalking the ICE agents. She had been taunting them, mocking them, and trying to stop ICE agents from doing what they are obligated to do. The ICE agents were there under lawful pretenses. The ICE agents were there to conduct routine operations. There was nothing out of the ordinary about anything the ICE agents were doing. And yet this woman kept trying to sabotage their efforts. That's what eventually led. So you've got hours of these confrontations with this woman leading up to the fact that when the ICE agent started to leave the area, what did she do? She used her SUV to block the roadway. And when she blocked the roadway, that's when the video cameras show what actually happened. When the ICE agents get out of their vehicle, one of them goes over and tells her to stop her car and to get out of the vehicle. And she refuses that order. So the ICE agent reaches in and tries to help her comply with a lawful order. And hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen. When a law enforcement officer tells you to stop your car and get out of the vehicle, guess what you got to do? You got to stop your car and you get out of the vehicle. You do what the officer tells you to do. If there's a problem with, I mean, if the officer is telling you to do something under false pretense, you can deal with that later in a courtroom. But in the moment, the officer is in charge and you got to do it. How many of you have been pulled over for whatever, for some sort of a traffic violation? How do you respond? Do you start screaming at the officer? Do you just, do you take off in your car? High-speed chase ensues? No, you pull over and you comply with whatever the officer is telling you to do. That's what most normal Americans would do in this situation. But this woman did not do that. So, again, officer approaches, ma'am, get out of the car. Get out of the car. She refused to do so. The officer then tries to help her out of the car. That's when she puts the car in reverse, and she slams on the brakes, then puts it in drive, and immediately aims her vehicle for this law enforcement officer, this ICE agent, who's standing directly in front of the van. And that's when the other part of this is, she died in a barrage of bullets. No, it was one bullet. Now, CBS News is reporting this, just got this moments ago, and I'll read this to you. A senior DHS official tells CBS News the ICE agent who opened fire was a member of a special response team, a specially trained tactical unit within ICE enforcement. The agent involved in the shooting was also involved in a separate incident in June. Federal officers attempted to arrest Roberto Carlos Munoz, a 39-year-old man previously convicted of sexually assaulting a minor. This happened in St. Paul. As agents tried to conduct a traffic stop and take him into custody, Munoz refused orders to roll down his window or exit the vehicle. An ICE enforcement and removal operations officer broke a rear window, reached inside the car to unlock the door. At that point, Munoz put the vehicle in drive, dragging the officer 100 yards with his arm inside the car as he accelerated and weaved to try to shake him off. The officer twice fired a taser in an unsuccessful attempt to stop him. Eventually, the officer was freed when the vehicle knocked him out of the window and Munoz continued fleeing. The officer suffered significant lacerations that required 33 stitches. Munoz was later federally charged with assaulting a federal officer with a dangerous weapon. CBS News is told the agent involved in this incident was the same agent that opened fire yesterday. Well, there you go. I mean, again, if you've been in this situation and you've seen this situation and you see that it could turn south any moment, you do what you are obligated to do to get home to your wife and kids safely at night. And it's a terrible tragedy. And I know everybody's trying to blame the ICE officer. I don't. And I've seen all the videos. And for me, it goes back not to the fact that she put the car in drive and sped away. The issue for me is that she disobeyed lawful demands from an ICE agent. That's what started all of this. So it's a great tragedy. And I hate it for this lady. I hate it for the lady's lesbian partner. I think they have a kid. I hate it for the kid. It's a terrible thing. But the reality is that if this woman had just complied with the demands of the ICE agents, she would be alive today. Maybe she would have been thrown in jail for her behavior. Maybe she would have just been given a ticket or maybe just a warning. But the fact of the matter is the only person responsible for what happened yesterday was the person behind the wheel of that SUV. That is the only person that is responsible. Where does this go from here? Well, let me just say that we've got a big problem on our hands in this country because the Democrats are out there, and there has been a concerted effort over years now, in my estimation, in my observations, there has been a concerted effort for years to delegitimize law enforcement in America. People have no respect for police officers, for anyone who wears a badge. You know, you've got all of these, the NAACP and all the BLM groups and the civil rights groups and the Democrats as a party at large. And they're all out there, and every single day they castigate members of law enforcement. They're out there belittling, and they'll say the NAACP, oh, we're just, you know, our young scholars, they're scared of the law. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because those young scholars, as they call them, those young scholars know that they can get away with murder. Those young scholars are causing mayhem all across America. And we've got to figure that out because we cannot have a nation of law and order if we do not obey the law. And if you don't obey the law, you're not going to have order. I mean, it really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes, it's okay to feel horrible about what happened yesterday. Absolutely. But the reality is, hashtag F-A-F-O. I mean, that's the reality. I'll give you an example. Early this morning, about 3:30 in the morning, some guy decided to break into somebody's house in East Memphis, not too terribly far from where we broadcast our program. Some guy broke in through a window, and the homeowner actually happened to be a law-abiding gun owner. And what did that homeowner do? That homeowner opened fire, shot, and killed the person breaking into the home. It's a terrible thing. And I'm sure the person who fired that weapon is going to have to live with that. Nobody wants to take another life. You don't want to be in that situation. But at the same time, you don't want a bad guy coming into your home and hurting your family. You don't want that. So at that moment, you have a decision to make. And that homeowner made the right decision early this morning in Memphis, Tennessee. And people are going to say, oh, this, and we'll see the news coverage. Oh, this was just a good, fine young man. And, you know, they'll haul out all the pictures of when he was in the fourth grade and when he was at sixth grade graduation and what he looked like when he was a baby. They don't have the pictures of the young thug when he's holding a weapon. But the reality is, if that young man or whoever it was that broke into that guy's home, you know, if he really cared for his life and if he really cherished life, then he would not have broken into a home at 3:30 in the morning. Again, F-A-F-O. No, that's a, no, Dylan, I'm not cursing. There's no need to bleep me. Fool around, find out. That's what F-A-F-O stands for. What did you think? Get your mind out of the gutter. All right, we got to take a break here. And I'm just curious. I mean, you've seen the videos here. Do you believe that the ICE agent did the right thing here? I think he had to do what he had to do so that he could come home safely to his family. That's what I think happened. What say you? 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls today. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it. share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. I mean, just put yourself in the shoes of this ICE agent. 6 months beforehand, you nearly got killed when some illegal alien took off with your arm still attached to the vehicle and starts pulling you, dragging you down the road 300 feet. And then all of a sudden, you're staring down a motorist, a crazed lesbian woman who wants to run you over. I mean, what was going through that guy's mind? This is just insane. And again, this goes back to a very simple point. The Democrats have put a target on the back of every member of law enforcement in America. Late yesterday, Zohran Mamdani, Comrade Zohran, out of New York City, that communist thug, went out there and said that ICE agent was guilty of murder. No, sir. That ICE agent is guilty of doing his job and is guilty of going home to his family safe. When you step back and you understand what's really going on in this country with the attacks on law enforcement and this effort to really destabilize the nation, that's what this is ultimately all about, is destabilizing the nation by making the point that you really don't have to do what law enforcement tells you to do. One of the arguments being made by the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, she's out there saying, well, the motorist was scared for her life, and she was afraid that the cops might hurt her, and that's why she did what she did. That's no excuse at all. No excuse at all. So I feel terrible for this woman's family. It's an awful thing that happened, but it could have been prevented. But this is what they're looking for. They were trying to find something to provoke these ICE agents. They were hoping and praying. This is what they've been hoping and praying for a very long time, because they want to use this to launch all sorts of protests and marches. We saw it last night in Minneapolis. In Seattle, they started doing the same thing. And get this, this is not being reported in the national news, but last night, Minneapolis police were given the order to stand down. They were told to back off and not intervene in these illegal protests. And that's what they were, illegal protests. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to come flat out and say this, and I don't want to hem and haw. I want to make sure that when the far left agitators who monitor this program write a story about what I'm about to say, they get it right. President Trump needs to invoke the Insurrection Act and immediately put down this rebellion in Minneapolis. That's what needs to happen, because I don't want a single, God forbid, the city burns down again. I don't want any of my tax money going to rebuild that nonsense. So it's time to go in, declare an insurrection, send in the military, round up all of the illegals, round up all of the criminal Somalians, and send them all back to wherever they came from. Let's give Minneapolis back to the good people of Minneapolis. Why don't we do that? All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Go and check out all of our video. We have some great coverage from yesterday, and you'll see all the videos, and you'll see exactly what those poor ICE agents have been faced with. It's just unacceptable, and no law enforcement officer should have to put up with that. And by the way, it might be good to say a prayer or two for the safety of our law enforcement officers, because Lord knows the Democrats, they're gunning for them. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Candles were lit on Bondi Beach by families, children, people of faith to celebrate a festival of light, a festival from Bible times, ones that Jesus himself celebrated. But instead of light, there was darkness, violence, fear, hatred showing itself at a time meant for prayer and rejoicing. Times like this remind us, even with the ceasefire in Israel, Jewish people are being targeted simply because of their faith. And times like this remind us why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews exists, to stand in the gap, providing safety and security to God's people. The fellowship brings together Christians and Jews to be a light to suffering Jews in Israel, the former Soviet Union, or wherever the needs are greatest. And your gift today will help provide that security that God's people so desperately need. Visit urgentifcj.org. That's one word, urgentifcj.org, or call now 866-338-IFCJ. That's 866-338-4325. All right, so Trump has invited reporters from the New York Times, four of them, to a sit-down interview in the Oval Office. Caroline Levitt's there. Stephen Chung is there. Rubio is there as well. And they're doing a live blow-by-blow as they're interviewing the president on a number of issues. And so the situation in Minneapolis came up. And this is, by the way, J.D. Vance was there as well. He's back in the picture. So anyway, they're pressing the president on what happened in Minneapolis. And they're telling the president that the motorist was not trying to run over the ICE agent. She was simply trying to get away. And the president said, well, that's not what I'm looking at. And he actually hauls out the video and he shows the New York Times reporters the video, and the Times reporters will not believe what their eyes are seeing. They cannot go there. And the president said, "What I just told you a few moments ago." He said, I want to see nobody get shot. I want to see nobody screaming and trying to run over policemen either. The Times goes on to say, when we press Mr. Trump on his conclusion the victim tried to run over the agent, he asked an aide to pull up the video on a laptop in an effort to prove his point. Trump says that was a vicious situation that took place. The exchange was a glimpse into Trump's reflexive defense of what has become a sometimes violent federal crackdown on immigrants. It's not violent. The only violence is being directed at the ICE agents, for crying out loud. New York slimes. Look, go back to Dallas, Texas, when you had the sniper open fire. What was it? Four illegals got shot and killed. And that's only because this guy was a bad shot. He was trying to shoot the ICE agents. Otherwise, you would have had dead federal agents. How many times have we seen these agents being attacked? And nobody condemns that. As a matter of fact, there was one lawmaker out there who was saying that the Lake and Riley Act is responsible for all of this. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926, Statesville, North Carolina. Patty is on the line. And Patty, I know you told us a couple of weeks ago when you called that your soon-to-be son-in-law is actually going to work or currently works for ICE.
Well, yeah, he's at the Newark detention, but he was called to go. See, they need more Minneapolis. Minneapolis, out of all the states, they're having the most trouble there. But Ty, let me tell you, 2020 is summer of love, right? They don't want another 2020. That's, you know what? They're gonna burn down everything again. They're gonna do it again. Our taxpayer monies are gonna pay for that. Nothing. That Wolf saying, I'm gonna call the National Guard. Excuse me. Why did you call the National Guard in 2020? Now he's gonna call them now?
Yeah, Patty. I don't know. It's Governor Waltz is trying to, I don't know, stir up or gin up some sort of a civil war. Yesterday he was talking about calling out the National Guard to protect the citizenry from the federal agents. I mean, that's an act of war. I mean, you're declaring war on your own country, for God's sakes. I think Waltz has to step down. He's not going to do it. He's not going to step down. But Trump has some decisions to make here. And I think the most important one is whether or not to declare, an insurrection, especially if you've got the governor threatening to call out the National Guard. And, again, we can't have a battle between the National Guard and federal agents.
Okay, now in 2020, Trump is the one that called the National Guard. He wouldn't do that, Tim Wolf.
No.
Tim Wolf, this, you know what? The Minneapolis, there is, they need, I don't know what is going on there. Those people are whacked. They're crazy. Tim Wolf is nuts. That Fry is a nutcase. I mean, he's saying we don't need, you know what? You know what they're doing? They know they're all convicted. They're going to all be convicted on bribery from the Somalians, okay? They all know they're going down. They're going down. And I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump, don't he put them there to save Minnesota lives. And people don't get it. People don't get it. They just, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad for everybody. I feel bad for her. But she shouldn't have been there, Todd. She shouldn't have. She came all the way from Colorado. You know that.
Mm-hmm. She had no business being there. None whatsoever.
No, sir. And you know what? I worry about him now. He don't care. He loves it. He loves what he's doing. But you know what? Minneapolis is a tough. You know, back in 20, it's tough. You think you're going to have another summer of love, Todd? You think you're going to do that again?
Could be. Yeah, that's the only way they're going to be able to get the base fired up is to stage, provoke some sort of an incident, some sort of a conflict. That's the only way. And they know that. They know that the midterms are going to be a loss for them. They have no leadership. They've got nothing except violence. And they know that will work. That will bring out their crowd. So we'll see how it plays out, Patty. But I think you're right to be concerned. And quite frankly, any of you with loved ones in law enforcement, you ought to be concerned about that. Patty, gotta go, but thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. Last night on Newsmax, we had a chance to talk with our friend, Congressman Van Orden from, the great state of Wisconsin, and he had a lot to say about what happened in Minnesota.
A very disturbing situation that is unfolding right now in Minneapolis. First, I want to get your reaction to the rhetoric that's been coming from the governor and the mayor.
Well, listen, this is a tragic event that could have been avoided if the radical left had not been demonizing our law enforcement officers. There's been a 1,300% increase of attacks on DHS officers who are simply following and enforcing federal law. So it is it's irrational and it's irresponsible what the governor of Minnesota and the mayor of Minneapolis have been saying and how they have been saying it.
And I think it's important for people, Congressman, to actually hear from Mayor Fry himself responding to this shooting. Let's take a listen to what he actually said.
I do have a message for our community, for our city. And I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite.
You know, Congressman, what do you make of what he's saying? It seems like he's just pouring gasoline on the fire.
That's exactly what he is doing. Now, listen, that mayor... you know, more to follow on his involvement in these incredible scandals that are taking place in Minnesota right now with the Somali community and defrauding the federal government of $18 or more billion. So that man has zero credibility to discuss anything. He should resign in shame, as should Governor Tim Walz. And I'm telling you, the things that these people are saying, there is power in rhetoric, and they are weaponizing people and radicalizing people against the folks that are there to actually protect them. And it is shameful.
You know, Congressman, just moments ago, New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani issued a statement on X, and he accused ICE of murdering that woman, that member of the mob. At what point, I mean, what is the end game here? Do they want Minneapolis to burn down? Are they hoping for more of these violent interactions between these mobs and the ICE agents?
Well, they certainly fueled the flames during the George Floyd riots in Minneapolis. And Zohran Mamdani, has to understand, he's mayor of New York. He's not the Secretary of State. He's not the President of the United States. and he's not the Secretary of Homeland Security. What Mondami needs to worry about is fixing the potholes in New York and getting rid of the crime that is rampant in that city due to radical left governance. So that dude needs to stick to New York and pray God not turn that into a socialist nightmare like Venezuela was.
Yeah, by the way, you mentioned the Homeland Security Department. Secretary Kristi Noem, speaking on the shooting, she was actually in Texas for another event. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle. These vehicle rammings are domestic acts of terrorism. We're working with the Department of Justice to prosecute them as such.
You know, the reality here is, if in fact this is a domestic an act of domestic terrorism, Congressman, at what point does the president have to step in, declare an insurrection, and send in the military to put down this rebellion? Because it's a pretty dangerous situation right now in Minneapolis.
It is very dangerous. And listen, I trust Secretary Noem to do her job. I trust the president of the United States to do his job. I am a member of Congress. That's the legislative branch. My job is to write policy and to fund government. And so what I try to do is focus on what I am supposed to be doing. And just like Mondami and that mayor and Governor Walz, if they actually focused on what the hell they're supposed to be doing, things like this would not be happening around the country. They just would not. They're fueling the flames, and it's grossly irresponsible. So they simply need to do that. They need to fix potholes. They need to fix windows. And they need to make sure that they help enable the federal government to help protect them. If they'd been doing that from the beginning, this would not have happened.
Hey, folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now, listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/stars and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year. I have new headphones, and they're very difficult to assemble here. Welcome back. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us. Well, there's a bit of controversy in the Christian world, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Nature Valley, they do the, what are the nature bars? The little crunchy nature bars? Yeah. The fruit and nut people. Is that what we're talking? Dylan, are you a big fan of the...
You know, I'm actually not, because once you open it, it usually goes everywhere and anywhere that you can possibly.
You take one bite, right? Yeah. You take one bite and the whole thing disintegrates.
Yeah. It's good. It tastes good, but you'll need a napkin and maybe a bib.
Apparently, well, I thought it was supposed to be healthy for you, but now that they've inverted or the food pyramid, I don't think we're supposed to be eating that anymore.
Yeah, it's at the bottom. So,
Nature Valley, have you seen the ad?
I haven't yet.
All right. Yeah. I want you to pull down the ad. I'm going to explain why there's a controversy. A group called 1 Million Moms is very upset because Nature Valley's ad has what is perceived to be a naughty word. And I'm shocked because the word is actually uttered by a squirrel. And I'm not too fond of all the creatures of the woodland. But I always sort of thought that squirrels were pretty decent creatures, right? They're furry and cuddly, and you know they eat nuts. Anyway, this is from 1 Million Moms. Nature Valley offends conservative parents. In one of its latest marketing campaigns, 1 Million Moms has received complaints regarding a Nature Valley ad, which included insinuated profanity. Wait, what is that? Is it like... So they're not actually cursing? I thought these were foul-mouthed squirrels we were talking about. So they're insinuating a profanity, which is causing controversy. among conservatives. Do we have the ad? All right, let's listen to the ad and let's see if we can figure out what is causing the controversy.
Oh, creamy peanut butter and whole grain wafers.
And we're eating old damp nuts.
Whoops.
Nature Valley, we make nature delicious.
So, obviously it's meant for TV, but I'll try to explain it. So I guess the agitated squirrels were dropping nuts on the heads of the humans that were eating the Nature Valley creamy peanut butter and chocolate bar. So anyway, according to the 1 million moms, the problem here is what the squirrel said. We're eating old damp nuts. And they said, according to 1 million moms, obviously, it does not sound like damp.
Oh, my gosh.
So was that a problem? Are we going to boycott it? Because the squirrel said, I'm tired of eating these old damn nuts.
That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Right, exactly. I don't think, I'm wondering, why are you thinking they're insinuating that? What are you thinking about? Because squirrels love nuts, right? Yeah. So, right, it doesn't matter if they're damp or not. They like nuts. That's what they eat.
They're going to storm regardless.
Somebody needs to help me out here. I'm not understanding what the controversy is. Oh, here we go. Of course, the implied word is easily identified. Nuts? Oh, maybe that's it. How dare they talk about a body part? Who do they think they are, you perverts? But it's not nuts. The implied word is easily identified. Viewers would have to read closed captions to determine if it's not profanity. Foul language is unnecessary in this or any advertisement. Everyone knows children repeat what they hear.
I will say damp is really not a word that I would probably describe like a nut if I'm eating it. But, you know. That's fine. It's not saying a bad word, and I don't know why people would think that a squirrel would be doing that. So,
Mommy, I want some damp nuts. Son, watch your language. Come get me the palm olive. How dare you? Where did you learn? You child, have a potty mouth. How dare you use the word damp? Yes, I said pee, damp. This is terrible. Well, this is just unacceptable. How dare nature? I'm just shocked at Nature's Valley. But I will say this, Dylan. I suspect there's many a good church-going person that was getting ready for Sunday school, and they were grabbing a quick breakfast, and they grabbed one of those Nature Valley bars, took a bite, and the next thing you know, it's all over their suit. And I guarantee you, those good Christian people said, those damp nuts.
At least one.
At least one.
Got to be at least one.
There's got to be at least one. So there you go. well, they're very upset. They want you to take action immediately. And they said Nature Valley needs to know parents disapprove. You know what? I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to see if we can't get a certain. We got to do something about how crunchy those things are. You know, they got to stop like disintegrating every time you take a bite. Maybe I'd sign that petition.
Yeah, they just need to put marshmallows in it and it sticks together. Oh, and it's more tasty. Probably not healthy
marshmallow
anymore.
Marshmallow and sticks. Well, they're not healthy, according to RFK Jr.
Yeah.
True. Right? That's at the bottom of the food. Now we're supposed to eat like big fat steaks.
Well, then you have nothing to lose. Put a marshmallow in there.
I love it. Just that makes it healthy, I think. It moves it up a notch on the food inverted pyramid. Yeah,
let's hope so.
Jeez, Alu. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. You know what? We understand all you moms out there. You don't want your kids to have potty mouths. I get that. So we're going to talk to the squirrels. We're going to have a conference call with them, and we'll reach out to Nature Valley. But yeah, we can't have kids running around America screaming damp nuts. What's wrong with you people? All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Damp it. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. And welcome, everybody. Hope you're doing well. This is the Todd Stearns Show. So in the last hour, I thought we had a major scandal on our hands here with Nature Valley. That's the granola people. They take a bunch of sticks and nuts and berries, and they wrap it in chocolate and peanut butter, and, well, there you go. Which used to be apparently healthy until RFK Jr. inverted the food pyramid, and now I think it's really bad for you. So, anyway, 1 million moms is very upset because their latest TV ad, which features some humans eating a Nature Valley bar and a couple of squirrels with potty mouths. Well, allegedly. So Nature Valley, this is what they're upset with. Let's, Dylan, let's replay the ad there if we can.
Oh, creamy peanut butter and whole grain wafers.
And we're eating old damp nuts.
Whoops.
All right, so... So they're upset because they say there is an insinuated profanity in the ad, and the insinuated profanity is the word, no, it's not nuts, it's damped. So they think that the squirrel is actually saying damn instead of damp. And they've got problems with that, so they want all of you conservative parents to take action and reach out and demand that Nature Valley cancel the commercial immediately. So, Dylan, in the break, you were telling me there was another ad campaign. I don't know if this generated any kind of a boycott, but maybe it should have.
Yeah, I think it most likely did, just based off of what it does and the kind of cleverness of the wordplay.
And what store is it?
This is Kmart.
Really? Family-friendly? Yes. Kmart?
Kmart.
I am shocked.
Yeah. They came out with this ad in 2013.
Way back in the, I would say, I almost said annals of history, the annals of history.
Yes, indeed.
The annals of history.
Yeah. So, yeah. It went viral almost immediately, and now it's up to, you know, I'm looking at 23 million views.
Holy cow. Yeah. All right. Can we hear, do we have to bleep the ad?
I don't think so, but okay. I'll just let you take it.
All right. Very good.
Ship my pants.
I'm part
right here.
Wait, what?
Ship my pants. You're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants and it's very convenient.
Very Grandma. Convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
That's it.
Well, I see. I'm just shocked that Grandma admitted that.
Yeah.
I mean, normally when you ship something, you don't want people to know about it. You know, it's just, you want it to be a surprise.
Well, you can tell by the smell sometimes.
Well, you can, especially if it's a delayed ship.
Yeah, if it's delayed. Yeah.
Of course. So, wow. It's...
It was very clever at the time, but I'm sure it was controversial.
I wonder if they got boycotted.
I'm sure.
I mean, if you're gonna boycott damp nuts, you gotta boycott that. I mean, right?
Don't be a hypocrite.
Can't be a hypocrite. Holy cow. You know what gets me, though, is the fixer-upper people, Chip and Joanna Gaines, before they went off the Christian reservation and started, you know, hanging out with all sorts of wild folks, they used to decorate the houses with shiplap. And I'm like, what the shiplap? I mean, what is that all about? We're going to get in trouble. So there you go. All that to say, I think there's always something to boycott in America. So I always say choose your battles wisely. You can't every issue can't be you can't go to war over every issue. But you know, if damp nuts is your hill to die on, then you know, more power to you. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. You know, this is interesting. There's a university here called in Tennessee called Austin Peay. And Austin Peay State University, taxpayer-funded school, they had a professor who was saying all sorts of god-awful things about Charlie Kirk and got fired as a result of that. I was very surprised that the school took the action they did. But now we understand that the teacher has been rehired, reinstated, and is going to be given a boatload of taxpayer cash because of all of this. Cut number one, please.
Massive settlement for an APSU professor suspended after sharing an article quoting Charlie Kirk. We just learned the university paid $500,000 to Darren Van Michael. Van Michael was suspended from Austin Peay State University back in September after he shared an article quoting Kirk's own thoughts about gun violence. APSU eventually decided to bring Van Michael back after an apparent threat of a lawsuit. The university is now paying him $500,000 to prevent any potential lawsuit, including First Amendment claims. The university also agreed to apologize for not following the tenure termination process.
All right, there you go. Hey, look, the reality is that I wouldn't be surprised if all of these professors are going to get rehired and they're going to be back in the classroom. I just think it's really incumbent upon all of you, and no matter if you go to a private Christian college or a public taxpayer-funded university, you got to make sure that your kid is not being educated by somebody who defends political assassinations. Oh, have you heard this? Or this is from Fox News. I've actually read this guy's books. There's a world-famous Christian author whose name is Philip Yancey, and he kind of looks like Bob Ross. Remember Bob Ross from PBS, the painter? I'll get to that. We have a Bob Ross story, by the way, in just a moment. Anyway, Philip Yancey, they say he has a snow fro. He's got an afro. He's a white dude. He's got an afro, and it's like white, so they call it snow fros. So anyway, this guy's been married. Are you ready for this? 55 and a half years this guy's been married, and he is, is it fair to call him a woke evangelical? I don't know if that's fair, but he doesn't like Donald Trump, and he has a big problem with all of you folks out there who voted for Donald Trump. So all of you Christians out there who voted for Donald Trump, he really has an issue with you. And I want to read this quote to you. This is from Evangelical Focus. And this guy is like a massive best-selling New York Times author. I mean, millions and millions of books this guy has sold. And here's one of the things he's had to say about all of you Christians. When you are in a place like the United States where the majority will claim to be Christians but then look like everyone else, then people do not understand what the gospel is. And he also blasted all of you Christians because you voted for Donald Trump. And it turns out that this guy has now admitted that he's been cheating on his wife of over 55 and a half years. And he wrote a letter to Christianity Today, which is a far left, woke, anti-Trump magazine. He said, "I confess for 8 years I willfully engaged in a sinful affair with a married woman." And he is now admitting this, and he is retiring from his full-time ministry. My conduct defied everything that I believe about marriage. It also was totally inconsistent with my faith and my writings and caused deep pain for her husband and both of our families. I have confessed my sin before God and my wife and have committed myself to a professional counseling and accountability program. I have failed morally and spiritually, and I grieve over the devastation I have caused. He said he will now focus on rebuilding trust and restoring his marriage of 55 years. So this guy has written books like Where is God When It Hurts?, The Jesus I Never Knew, What's So Amazing About Grace?, Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference?, and Where the Light Fell. He said this about Donald Trump. In 2016, Mr. Yancey garnered controversy when he told a European publication that he was staggered by the evangelical support for Donald Trump. Here's what he said, quote, I am staggered that so many conservatives or evangelical Christians would see a man who is a bully, who made his money by casinos, who has had several wives and several affairs. That they would somehow paint him as a hero, as someone that we could stand behind. So this guy was he was an ever-Trumper. We call them woke evangelicals. In 2023, Yancey was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, which is terrible. And his poor wife, I can't imagine this poor woman. But they're going to work through it. And we can put them on the prayer list. But again, it's the sheer hypocrisy of it all. As he was condemning President Trump for having an alleged affair, Mr. Yancey was actually involved in one. That's really sad. That's really sad. I don't know about you, but, you know, the whole megachurch thing and all the huge, this whole celebrity thing, it's been bothering me for a very long time now, because I see a lot of these folks and they're telling you how to live your life, and then they turn around and they do the exact opposite. And all these folks are held up as role models that we should all follow, and a lot of it is a big grift. And I can tell you from my position and my vantage point, and I've always seen myself as an observer of the culture. And you get to see people for who they really are and what they really are. And by the nature of my job, you know, I'm invited in those green rooms and things of that nature where all these people hobnob. I'm not a hobnobber. Dylan, people are just stunned at my very boring life. I do my job and I go home.
You cook nice meals for yourself.
Go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And go home and usually watch Paramount TV. That's the extent of my life. And I'm an introvert by nature. So that's for me, just being on the radio and doing TV. It's just a lot. So all that to say, it's a chore for me to go to a party or something like that. But when I do go to these events and when I am invited out to speak here or there or wherever, You get to figure out who the real deal people are and who the ones that aren't. And I just hate to say, and I will never name names. I'm not going to write some big expose. That's just not me. You live your life and you answer to God. That's it. Unless you're married and you answer to your wife or your spouse as well. But you do you is what I say. But when you're out there, and I'll never forget, I was at Fox News. This was many, many years ago. And I will tell you who the real deals are. Jack Graham, Prestonwood Baptist Church, Paul Chappell, Lancaster Baptist Church, Dr. Robert Jeffress, Franklin Graham. Those are real deal people. And one of the Fox News hosts who professed to be a person of deep and abiding faith in God, and I mean, they professed on air to be like a follower, just a devout follower. And it was like every other word was like reminding people that they love Jesus. And so anyway, this person asked to come and see me, and she had noticed that I had spoken at First Baptist Church Dallas. I had been invited to speak there. And she said, hey, I want to know, how do you get in on that gig? And I said, what gig? That she goes, those church gigs, do they pay well? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I said, I don't take any money. As a matter of fact, I refuse to take money. If people want to give an honorarium, that's very nice, and I'll accept that. But we don't require, no, why would we do that? And so anyway, this person was invited eventually, and she said, well, they want to ask me about my testimony. What does that mean? I'm like, well, they want to know about your salvation experience. She goes, well, what does that mean? And I'm sitting here going, ma'am, you talk about your relationship with God every single day on TV, and you don't know what that, you don't know what your testimony is? That's very strange. So all that to say, and even outside of the realm of Christianity in the conservative world, I think many people's eyes are now being opened. People who are popular podcasters and show hosts, and they out there and they're telling you they're like Trump conservatives, and it turns out they're really not. And I know that's disappointing for a lot of folks. I'm not ever disappointed anymore because I've seen it all, and I know how these people are. And, you know, people come and people go, and then there are the rest of us who keep doing what we do every single day. And, you know, we try to do our jobs with integrity. And I think that's really what it's all about, is doing your job with integrity. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Zachary in South Carolina. Hi, Zachary, what's on your mind? Hello, Zachary. All right, well, Zachary is not there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. 5926. So a number of Republicans now are urging President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. Lawmakers also want President Trump to arrest Minnesota Governor Tim Walz after the governor warned of using the National Guard against federal troops. Mary Miller, a congresswoman, good friend of this program from Illinois, says invoke the Insurrection Act, arrest Tim Walz. The law, by the way, gives the president power to arrest suspects obstructing federal law enforcement. And that's exactly what, by the way, that's what, more so than the governor, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, that's what he's doing. According to Walz, we do not need any further help from the federal government. To Donald Trump and Kristi Noem, you've done enough. I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. And so the warning order is for what? That's what a lot of people are wondering about. So we'll keep an eye on that. By the way, protest breaking out at this hour, cities all over America. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Millions of people now tuning into Newsmax. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones, TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why. Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in the country. You can make the switch today and join our news revolution. Watch my show, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax 2. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Takes just, wow, seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. It's truly real news for real people. All right, hang tight, everybody. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly. She'll be by, and we're going to take you live to Minneapolis. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here, there are beaches as wide open as your plans and waterfront towns more charming than you could ever imagine and activities to fill every sunny second of every sunny day. It's time to start thinking about your next break. And the Crystal Coast has a space for you and yours to do it all. Ready for the perfect spring getaway? Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know what it is, Dylan? I noticed there's hardly any traffic around today.
Yeah, I know.
It's like a holiday. You know why?
Why?
The entire city, the entire Mid-South is in Arizona right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for the big Fiesta Bowl.
Yes, that is true.
Tonight, 6:30, hotty toddy.
They're going to win.
Ole Miss, you're the only person saying that. You know, everybody's pulling for Miami.
I know, and I don't know why. Ole Miss has got that grit. They just lost Lane Kiffin, and they're okay with it.
No, they've got a grudge. Yeah, they got a chip on their shoulder over that, and rightfully so.
Yeah. They're going to win.
Is like Lane Kiffin now officially an evil villain?
To some would say, yeah.
I think. Yeah. I think to most people in the state of Mississippi, I would say.
Oh, yeah. All Mississippi thinks that.
All right. Well, my God, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. 6:30, everybody. I told Newsmax, do not call me for prime time. Do not call me. I have plans. I want to welcome in our great friend, Republican strategist Luke Symbol. Luke, good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm surprised you told Newsmax no primetime because you did primetime over the holidays.
Yeah.
I was like, you did not get a break.
No, I did not. It's look, I've got a new book coming. I've got to show you the cover.
Oh,
well, in the break, I'll show you the cover.
A sneak peek.
It's going to be really cool. I'm very excited about the book, and I think President Trump's going to love it. I hope. Fingers crossed.
That's
so
great.
We'll see. Luke, lots going on, of course, in Memphis, and I want to start with Memphis and then pivot to Minneapolis because I think there's a connection here. You've got a restaurant owner. And it's in this really bad part of Memphis called Orange Mound. And the owner of the restaurant is called Da Sandwich Spot, as in S-A-M-M-I-C-H, Duh, instead of the D-A, Da Sandwich Spot. And so anyway, this guy's upset because the National Guard was outside his establishment, which is in a strip mall. And then he was filming it all. They had all these activists. And there's a big sign on his front door that he will not allow any ICE agents or law enforcement into his property. Now, I will say he's really the anomaly, I think, in Memphis when it comes to restaurants and businesses.
For sure. Most of the businesses are offering free meals, free lunch, you know, a meat and three, since we're in Memphis, a meat and three meal for our National Guardsmen, our task force members. People are overjoyed with the increased law enforcement presence. And I have seen he is now the sandwich shop owner. He is now the second restaurant owner to offer something negative here in Memphis, I have noticed. And I think it's because they're in parts of town where the gangs have controlled for a long time. And their patrons, a lot of their patrons, are probably able to be arrested.
So this is all happening like late at night. I want to play. This is the owner complaining about the National Guard. Cut number five, Dylan.
Did y'all ever get the sergeant for me? Y'all ever get the sergeant for me? Whoever I was supposed to be talking to? Where you at? Your supervisor? What's the issue? Why y'all out here like this in front of my space? I appreciate that. I told my dad. I'm just asking that because, like, y'all still, like, very aggressively inside of this space.
This whole area.
As a citizen, I'm saying that right now I feel very unsafe.
Okay.
Because of you all's presence. And that doesn't bother y'all?
Well, you're the extreme minority with that one.
No, I don't. Because I'm the only person up here right now. We can ask anybody else that's up here in this immediate vicinity, do they feel safe?
Space? Loves us being here.
That's top notch. Y'all ain't in front of their space. Y'all ain't over there. Y'all right here.
Okay.
Y'all right here. So I'm saying for personally, just me though.
Yeah.
So y'all don't care that y'all making me feel unsafe? It means nothing, y'all.
It is, right?
It means nothing.
We're told to patrol this area, so we're going to patrol this area.
Right here, in front of this though.
Hey, you moved again, like, yeah.
I'm just asking, like, but your body's still in front of it.
All right, there you go. He said he's got the PTSD.
Oh, the PTSD. I couldn't understand about half of that, unfortunately.
Yeah. But we've got a translator.
Okay.
He's got the PTSD.
You speak the Memphis talk, Todd?
No, no, I don't. I don't.
You can understand it, though.
What I find interesting is this was like late at night. The restaurant is not even open. So my question is, what's that guy doing in his restaurant? You know, he's got his buddies in there. I've heard reports. I'm not willing to go public with those reports just yet. But I'm wondering if there's a reason why they don't want law enforcement inside that that alleged diner.
Well, exactly right. And he clearly wanted to take a video, to get on the media, to make a point. And I guess he's succeeding. But most of the people I see watching the video are making fun of him.
Senator Marsha Blackburn posted this yesterday. Today marks 100 days of the Memphis Safe Task Force operations. Nearly 5,000 arrests, 800 illegal guns seized, over 130 missing children located. What is Memphis like today as maybe compared to, you know, over 100 days ago?
It is night and day. I mean, you used to not be able to drive the highways around Memphis without getting run off the road. And I'm not kidding. I mean, the Infinities with the drive-out tags, missing bumpers and headlights driving by you at 100 miles an hour were not just common. It was the norm. It was the norm here in Memphis. And our highway people are driving the speed limit. Crime has literally been cut in half. Car stolen vehicles, that crime, that's down like 70%. It's remarkable. There has been a night and day difference, and we need to keep up the momentum. And we have unfortunately here in Memphis, we have a Soros-backed DA that cares more about saving people's souls than he does putting them in prison. And we need to hold his feet to the fire because I have concerns. But in terms of the arrest rate and the law enforcement presence, it has been a game changer for our city.
You know, I think a lot of people were concerned initially. They said, oh, the National Guard's going to be coming in. They're going to be hauling people out of their homes. They're going to be just stopping people randomly. None of that has happened. The only people targeted are the illegals and the bad guys.
Exactly. The National Guardsmen, most of them are from the Tennessee Guard, and they are walking around shopping centers that used to be full of crime. When you would go into the store and come out, your windows would be busted out. They are wonderful people. They have smiles on their faces. They say hello as you walk by, and all they're doing is patrolling to keep us safe. You know, the local Democrat Party, they took up the line, no troops on our stoops. And they tried to, before the task force got here, they tried to rile up the citizens of Memphis and terrify them about what was coming. It was so irresponsible. And we're seeing the results of that kind of rhetoric now across the country with what happened in Minneapolis yesterday and the riots taking place. It is a purposeful attempt to delegitimize and cause chaos.
And we don't have stoops here. We have front porches, but that doesn't rhyme. So
great point.
The Tennessee Democrat Party F-bombed the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the entire agency. They put out a huge statement, a huge graphic on their social media, F-ICE, and they just spelled it out. It was not family friendly.
They are praising the attempts to impede law enforcement. It is now apparently part of at least the Tennessee Democrat Party's platform that it is encouraged to impede federal officers who are attempting to carry out federal law passed by the Congress. It is terrible, and it comes on the heels of the left-wing extremism that we saw with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life, the other, you know, the school shootings by radical trans activists. This type of rhetoric, we know what happens. We know that they are escalating it. We know that chaos is created. I mean, look at what happened after George Floyd. It is like they are purposefully attempting to burn our cities to the ground. It's sickening. And we have to speak out against it. And the federal government has to go after these left-wing dark money groups that are funding it.
Luke Semple joining us in studio, Republican strategist. Last night, Vice President Vance on with Jesse Waters. I want to listen to this conversation, get your reaction. Cut 14.
If the Democrats do win the midterms, is Trump getting impeached again?
I'm sure he'll get impeached. Look, they have nothing to actually run on or govern on. Their entire obsessive focus of that party is they hate Donald Trump. So if they ever get power, are they going to, you know, lower Americans' taxes? No. Are they going to make your life more affordable? No. Are they going to solve the crime crisis? No. What they're going to do is they're going to spend all their time and all of your money trying to get Donald Trump. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that's what they're running on. But the American people are going to make this determination. I think the American people should vote for the people who want to make their life more affordable and want to make their neighborhoods safer. That's what we're trying to deliver every single day.
Your reaction to what the VP said?
Totally agree. The Democrats, I've never seen the Democrats on their heels for this long on every single issue facing America. And that's to this administration's credit and the communication coming out of this administration between J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Stephen Miller, Caroline Leavitt, others. But you look at every single issue that Americans are really caring about right now, affordability. We're seeing energy prices slashed right now, particularly with gas. We are seeing the economy take off, even reports this morning showing that the trade deficit has massively shrunk. GDP is growing faster than expected. Despite tariffs, remember, tariffs were going to blow up our entire economy, and we're just not seeing that happen. You look at the murder rate falling for the most in this country's history because the FBI is out there doing its job and catching violent criminals. You look at, so that's crime. That's the economy. That's energy. Every single issue we are winning on right now, we just have to keep pushing forward. The Democrat Party cares more about protecting illegal aliens than doing the job of governing, and we're winning, and we just have to keep going.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you just said there. I think one of the challenges may be that there were so many dumpster fires burning. You know, it's almost information overload with voters. So how do you decide, okay, this is what we need to focus on? And I think we just have to focus squarely on the economy.
It's the economy, stupid. It's those kitchen table issues. It's the price of eggs, the price of bread. And that touches, so, you know, when you look at energy costs, for example, we have got to talk about electricity costs in this country and what we're going to do to address it. When you look at the price of cars, I really think this administration is zeroing in on those issues, and they have a plan to fix it. We saw Donald Trump come out with some housing plans to keep large corporations from buying up all these single family homes. But we need to sell it now. And I agree with you. Focus on the economy, and then in large urban centers, maybe throw crime in there a little bit too.
What do you make of these wars with some of the conservative social media influencers, you know, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, Nick Fuentes, all that crowd?
It's really annoying. Actually, this morning, somebody posted a clip taken totally out of context of Megyn Kelly that makes her out to sound like she's praising Nick Fuentes. That's not the case at all. If you just added 10 seconds on either side of the clip they showed, they're just being totally disingenuous. It's annoying, but Twitter is not real life. Podcasting is not real life. We've got to talk to people about, like you said, Todd, the economy, energy, crime, the things that that affect them every single day. It's almost like the conservatives got bored after winning the White House, and now they're finding all these other issues to fight about. We don't care about your personal differences. Like Candace Owens, I don't care what you think about Ben Shapiro, and Ben Shapiro, I don't really care what you think about Candace Owens. Just nobody, that doesn't affect people in their everyday life. It's a distraction, and it's almost like they think they're more important than they are. Like it's super narcissistic to think that America cares about your little personality squabbles.
I mean, some of this stuff is really just awful. I've never seen anything like this. Candace Owens, and what did she say about Ben? Hold on, I've got to call this up. Ben Shapiro. It's just insane, the level of attacks and hatred. And you wonder if stuff like that is going to have any impact at all. I don't think it is. I just don't think the average conservative, if you went up to the average conservative and said, do you know who Nick Fuentes is, or even Candace Owens, I don't think they know.
I totally agree. It's a very small subset. It's the really zeroed in people that want to, you know, talk about politics all day long and listen about politics all day long. And Todd, you made a great point. I was listening as I was driving over to the studio. Who are those folks that have been here for the long haul, that have spoken honestly to their audience like you? I think there are a lot of people who have built up trust with their audience because of the years of just being honest with them. And so listen to those folks. And I think the squabbles will eventually go away because honestly, nobody cares.
Candace Owens on Ben Shapiro. Ben's a parasite. He's a worm. And in the case of Andrew Breitbart, he behaves like a maggot on a corpse, like he's doing right now with Charlie Kirk.
I don't even know what that, I mean, that's just.
I don't know what that means.
It's just gross. It has nothing to do with what people care about.
And the other part about all this, and these folks, you know, they are, you know, they you know, use the big words and, you know, they got, they're slathered in makeup and, you know, high dollar wardrobes and whatever. But they don't know basic politics. And that's what bothers me about this, especially with them. And just about all of them are coming out and attacking Trump on Venezuela and Greenland and Colombia and Mexico. They don't have a clue what the Monroe Doctrine said. They don't have a clue what that was all about. And they don't understand that making sure we don't have a Chinese missiles in Venezuela or Russian missiles in Cuba is an America First issue.
You're exactly right. I think J.D. Vance is doing a really good job of explaining it. Marco Rubio is doing a good job of explaining it. But it's a lot of the young podcasters, like you said, they're slathered in the makeup. They love the attention they get on social media. And there's no core grounding and no core understanding.
You can put lipstick on a moron, and it's still a moron.
They need to go take some Hillsdale College courses online or something.
Well, that's a good point. All right, Luke Symbol. Luke, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Todd.
All right, Thanks. Hang tight, folks. Got to take a quick break. All right, a little bit of late breaking news here. The vice president speaking now at the lectern there in the White House press briefing room, and this is pretty exciting stuff. Looks like they are going to be appointing a special new assistant attorney general who will be focused solely on the fraud that's being uncovered, and they're going to start the investigations in Minnesota and then spread nationwide. This is really, really bad news for Tampon Tim Walz. This is great news for the American taxpayer. Now, here's another component of all of this. Scott Bessent just announced, are you ready for this, folks? This is insane. They have confirmed, Secretary Scott Bessent has just confirmed, up to $600 billion of annual fraud using our tax money. That is nearly 10% of all spending. This is insanity. So you understand here, you know, the whole point of raising taxes and all this money that we're sending to the government, we don't need to be doing that. All we need to be doing is getting rid of the fraud. So Bessent says, we're going to hold everybody accountable here. He says, we're going to press this to the fullest extent possible. And that's the announcement coming from the vice president just a few seconds ago. And we've got to make sure. He said that the General Accounting Office believes there's somewhere between $300 billion and $600 billion of annual fraud, roughly 10% of all government spending, that just simply disappears. Poof, it's gone. Bessent says if we can recapture that, he says that's 1% to 2% of the GDP right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to cause some sort of a big, you know, kerfuffle here, but we need Donald Trump in office 4 more years. I don't even think Vance and I don't think Rubio can do what Trump is doing right here. Let's keep Trump in office for another term, especially if we can get on the record officially that the election was stolen from him. He deserves a do-over. This is huge, huge news, everybody. Huge news. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. When I was actually walking out here, somebody sent me a photo of a CNN headline about what happened in Minneapolis. And this is the headline. I'm just going to read it. Outrage after ICE officer kills U.S. citizen in Minneapolis. Well, That's one way to put it, and that is the way that many people in the corporate media have put this attack over the last 24 hours. And I say attack very, very intentionally, because this was an attack on federal law enforcement. This was an attack on law and order. This was an attack on the American people. The way that the media, by and large, has reported this story has been an absolute disgrace, and it puts our law enforcement officers at risk every single day. What that headline leaves out is the fact that that very ICE officer nearly had his life ended, dragged by a car 6 months ago, 33 stitches in his leg. So you think maybe he's a little bit sensitive about somebody ramming him with an automobile? What that headline leaves out is that that woman was there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America. What that headline leaves out is that that woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job. If the media wants to tell the truth, they ought to tell the truth that a group of left-wing radicals have been working tirelessly, sometimes using domestic terror techniques, to try to make it impossible for the President of the United States to do what the American people elected him to do, which is enforce our immigration laws. The President stands with ICE. I stand with ICE. We stand with all of our law enforcement officers. And part of that is recognizing that you people in the media, not everybody in this room, but many people in this room, have been lying about this attack. She was trying to ram this guy with her car. He shot back. He defended himself. He's already been seriously wounded in law enforcement operations before. And everybody who's been repeating the lie that this is some innocent woman who was out for a drive in Minneapolis when a law enforcement officer shot at her, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Every single one of you.
Wow. Okay. That was Vice President J.D. Vance just a few moments ago at the White House, really going after the media coverage over the situation in Minneapolis. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Stern Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, we also had this information regarding the ICE agent who was nearly run over. We have not learned his name, but we can confirm that this guy was involved in another attack, and in this one, he was seriously injured, required dozens of stitches after an illegal alien dragged him some 300 yards in a vehicle. He was hanging outside the vehicle and nearly got killed. And it turns out that the illegal alien had actually been previously released, set back out on the streets by a judge appointed by former President Barack Obama. So a little bit of a backstory and some history there. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us Amanda Peterson, who is an independent content creator, lives there in the Minneapolis area. Amanda, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm just curious, what is it like in Minneapolis? I know last night there were, it looks like, a lot of people taking to the streets. Describe the scene for us.
That's correct. I mean, Minneapolis is large, so these certain areas that we've seen protests erupt over the years are very scary right now, flooded with protests. But there are other parts of Minneapolis that it feels like nothing is going on. And that's one of the reasons I think Minnesotans don't take this as seriously, because it is so confined. But Governor Tim Walz and Mayor Jacob Frey told the teacher have schools out today and tomorrow. So in terms of like unrest, but now the teachers and teachers unions can join in these protests. It's very clear to me that they want this to be a big story and they want people out there on the streets.
I mean, I've heard, and you know, here's how bad it is, Amanda. The voice of reason in Minneapolis right now is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. That's how insane this is. When you've got the mayor out there telling, you know, the ICE agents to get the blank out of the town, you've got the governor suggesting that he's going to call in the National Guard to, I don't know, fight ICE agents like it's some sort of a civil war. I have never heard this level of rhetoric coming from elected leaders before.
Unfortunately, this is not new for Minneapolis. We've seen this time and time again. I remember when I was chair of Minnesota College Republicans in 2016, I spoke to police officers who told me in Minneapolis that if they come across an individual who is acting violently, even has a deadly weapon, that they just let them go. If they try and get away, they let them go because they don't want to have Minneapolis back in the news over civil unrest and situations like this. And I think when the, you know, when ICE came in, they don't abide by those orders. We have this large protest community in Minneapolis who are used to the police doing nothing when they get out of control like this. And then we have government officials who egg them on to get out of control. It's absurd.
And it seems like that's what was happening yesterday. Can you give us any guidance? What are you hearing about what happened in that neighborhood?
In that neighborhood, what I have heard is that there were protesters basically just trying to block ICE from doing their jobs. This woman in the vehicle was blocking ICE. She was kind of the main person blocking ICE from engaging in their jobs. They were trying to get her to move or get out of her car. At a point, they began to apprehend her. And that is when she floored it or appeared to floor it at an ICE agent. And like what you just said is true, Minneapolis local news is reporting that he had been dragged previously in an altercation with an illegal immigrant just 6 months ago.
So, Amanda, if that's me and I'm that ICE agent and I nearly lost my life in a similar situation, I'm not taking any chances.
I totally agree.
I mean, it's really sad. I mean, it's truly sad. I mean, this is a great tragedy, no doubt about it. But the reality is, I go back, I know everybody's focused on her pulling away. It just seems to me the problem here is when the agent first came up to the window of her car and said, turn off the engine, get out of your car. You know, any other law-abiding citizen would turn off the engine and get out of the car because it's law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, in Minnesota, again, we've cultivated this scenario where protesters can do whatever they want. They can block highways in the summer of 2020. They can, that area over by where this altercation or where the shooting went down, this is a couple blocks from what is now George Floyd Square. They do this over there all of the time, just mass demonstrations, mass protests. The
wow.
Protesters here are allowed to act lawless.
So it's really almost anarchy in a way.
Totally.
What are,
and enabled by Jacob Frey and Tim Walz.
Yeah, that's just unacceptable. And then, you know, with all of the fraud and these allegations coming out, I have to imagine that Republicans, as much as they should be angry, I guess, are you seeing that Republicans may be motivated and maybe they have a chance of maybe winning some races in the election coming up?
I pray that they have a chance. I think one of the difficult things when it comes to Minnesota politics is while the rest of the state is pushing right over time, the population is so densely concentrated in Minneapolis that if Democrats can turn out enough votes in Minneapolis, it's impossible to win statewide races. And that is why you see Democrats pander so much to the Somali community despite all of the fraud, because that's a population of between 80 and 100,000 people. If that constituency does not turn up, then Democrats lose.
Is it really as bad? I mean, you know, we've been seeing the stories and the independent reporters going out there and exposing all the child care stuff. Is it really that bad?
I mean, it's localized to their areas, right? There are areas where there are significant Somali populations and you'll find a couple daycares in that one area. But it's really not an assimilated population, and so it's only bad, again, if you're around them. If you're not around, if you're out in the suburbs or something, it doesn't even enter your consciousness, I think, day to day.
I think that's the key word, though, is assimilation. And we're seeing that happen to a greater extent over in Paris, where they literally have no-go zones for the Muslim immigrants, where, you know, you're just not allowed to go into the neighborhoods. It's just not safe. So you're saying that exists probably to a smaller extent there in Minneapolis with the Somali community.
Definitely to a smaller extent, but that's here.
Wow. All right. Amanda, where can people go if they want to get information, follow all your great content? Where can they do that?
Thank you. My biggest platform, I guess, is Instagram. It's Amanda Talks Geopolitics, and I'm also on X and TikTok.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Amanda, no, we're so honored that you would join us. And again, folks, Amanda Talks Geopolitics. Follow her on Instagram, and she's got links to other platforms as well. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your
day. All right. You too. Amanda Peterson from Minneapolis and a young Republican leader there. And good for her. What a mess, though. What a mess. But I'm telling you, the other breaking news, and we shared this just before we went to break, The White House is announcing they're creating a brand new assistant U.S. attorney that will focus entirely on fraud. Over $600 billion of fraud believed to have already been uncovered. That is an outrage, and people are going to have to go to jail for that. They're going to have to go to jail. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Can you comment on his rhetoric and Mayor Jacob Frey and whether they want to see unrest in Minneapolis?
Well, that's very tough rhetoric from a guy who just quit because his fraudulent activities have been uncovered. Look, Tim Walz is a joke. His entire administration has been a joke. The idea that he's some sort of freedom fighter, he's not. He's a guy who has enabled fraud and maybe, in fact, has participated in fraud. That's what this new assistant attorney general position is going to find out. I don't care what Tim Walz says. I care about getting to the bottom of this fraud for the American people, and I care about enforcing the nation's immigration laws. That's what we're going to stay focused on.
Wow. Good for him. I'm telling you, the vice president is fired up right now, everybody. They're speaking to members of the media, tearing the press corps a new one over their coverage of this attack on an ICE agent in Minneapolis. And that's something very important to understand here, is that ultimately this was an attack on an ICE agent, actually multiple agents in Minneapolis. That's what's going on here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, yesterday, while all that was going on in Minneapolis, you had the House going after all of this fraud from Somalia. Here is Congressman Brandon Gill, cut number 8.
In Minnesota are on food stamps?
No.
54%. Do you know what that number is for native Minnesota-headed households?
Well, to be clear, a majority of the...
It's 7%. There's a big difference between 54% and 7%, is there not?
Excuse me, sir. Could I answer the question?
Let me move on. We've got a lot of questions here. What percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on Medicaid?
I don't know.
It's 73%. Do you know what that number is for Minnesota Native households?
Again, you're using the phrase Minnesota Native households, but the number
is 18%. That's quite an astounding difference, I think we would
agree. Can I answer the question, please?
Let me ask you one more, and then we can go on to that. What percentage of Somali-headed households are on welfare in general?
I don't know.
It's 81%. What about, let me just ask you, after 10 years of being in the United States, what percentage of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare?
I don't know.
The number is 78%. So even after 10 years, 78% of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare.
Good for him. And by the way, to that point, President Trump, just a few moments ago, he's still doing this interview with the New York Times, and they're posting snippets. President Trump, this is from the reporting of the Times. President Trump said his administration was taking steps to strip some naturalized Americans of their citizenship, with a particular eye for those of Somali descent. I would do it in a heartbeat if they were dishonest, Mr. Trump said in an Oval Office interview. I think that many of the people that came in from Somalia, they hate our country. If they deserve to be stripped, I would say yes. Stripping some naturalized Somalis of their citizenship would be a significant escalation in Mr. Trump's immigration crackdown, which has begun moving beyond those in the country illegally. He has fixated for years on the Somali community, but in recent months has focused on an investigation into fraud. So I'm curious here, folks, as we maneuver through these waters, do you support the president here? And if there are naturalized citizens from Somalia, I would say Ilhan Omar, for example, would you be in favor of stripping them of their citizenship if they hate America and sending them back to where they came from? Anybody got a problem with that? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Here's Congressman Tom Emmer, cut number 10.
to it.
Thank God for President Donald J. Trump for finally bringing attention to this issue. Representative Rarick, I'm going to begin with you. You've been working on this issue for years. You've spoken to the whistleblowers personally. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You have an understanding that 1,000 whistleblowers running an account on X have come forward to expose fraud in Minnesota state agencies, and they have been entirely ignored by Tim Walz and have even been retaliated against. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Even this morning, I got another message.
Well, in your experience, are their claims credible or are they politically motivated against Walz?
They're completely credible, not politically motivated.
In fact, many of these are Walz administration employees, correct?
They are actually Democrats as well.
Can you quickly give us one example of the retaliation these folks have been facing?
Yes, I can. In my opening statement, I mentioned that the most severe ones was that they would be fired with cause, so they couldn't have unemployment insurance, that they would be blacklisted from all state agencies, and I would bet that it's also Hennepin County and Ramsey County. As you know, those are Democrat-run, and much, much more.
Based on what you've learned, Representative, over the last several years, do you have any doubt that Governor Tim Walz knew about this fraud as it was occurring?
He absolutely knew that it was occurring.
There you go. I'm telling you, Tim Walz is in very hot water. So let's hope and pray that we start seeing some people arrested very soon. Oh, by the way, got another update from the New York Times. I'm actually interested in this one. The Times said, we asked President Trump when Americans might expect to receive the $2,000 checks he promised to send. All of that money, by the way, from the revenue the country made from tariffs. And the president said he did not need congressional approval to provide the payments and said that we can expect to see those checks sometime later this year. So there you go. $2,000, Dylan. Not too shabby. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. What would you do with 2,000 extra bucks?
Probably go grocery shopping.
Yeah. Well, the price of eggs may be coming down soon.
That's true. I can get a lot of eggs.
Is that, you know, it's really sad, but that's how the American people, you know, that's how they think. You know, if gas prices are high and the price of eggs and milk is high, then they're not going to go out and vote.
Yeah, it's true. It's sad. It's quite sad.
Well, gas prices are coming way down, which is a great thing. So anyway, $2,000, could be getting it at the end of the year, everybody. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Head over to ToddStearns.com or our social media platforms. You can access all of those on our website, by the way, and we'll be checking out some of your comments. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. ToddStearns.com is our website. You need to bookmark that page. Over 2 million people a month now visiting our website for news and commentary. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have the White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly joining us today. Anna, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Todd. Happy New Year.
Anna, Happy New Year. And I'm just shocked that you're doing the interview today. And I only say that because you would have been excused to hang out and watch the Vice President of the United States issue blistering rebukes of the media right now in the press briefing room. I mean, this is a brilliant thing that we see happening right now.
It is brilliant, Todd. And lucky enough, I was able to do both. So it actually worked out quite perfectly. The Vice President, as you said, wrapped up about 20 minutes ago, and I was able to watch him not only totally wreck the media, as you mentioned, for their failures in covering this incident yesterday in Minnesota, but also to announce a really exciting initiative to create a new Department of Justice division for national fraud enforcement in light of all of this vast fraud we're seeing in Minnesota across the country. So it was a really exciting day in the White House press briefing room to see this announcement because, of course, the administration has long been looking at this fraud issue, making sure we're using the entire administration to create investigations into this fraudulent activity we're seeing in Minnesota under the failed leadership of Tim Walz. But we're also making sure that we are holding those bad actors accountable. And so I think the vice president's announcement today will be really important, making sure that we are truly leading a whole of government approach to make sure that all of these benefits that we've been talking about are truly going to the American citizens they were intended to serve.
I know Secretary Scott Bessent earlier today just delivered that jaw-dropping revelation, what GAO discovered, as much as $600 billion in fraud. That's a staggering amount of money. But again, this is one of the reasons why we sent President Trump to the White House, is to uncover all of this and deliver that money back to the American taxpayers.
It's true, and it's a rampant and pervasive problem. And I think, of course, Nick Shirley, we have to commend him because he's truly brought to light some of the issues that we're seeing under Tim Walz's failed leadership in Minnesota with regard to daycare centers, these massive amounts of federal grants that were being shipped off essentially to Somalia. But look, it's a pervasive problem throughout our government, and that's why there has been truly a whole of administration approach through the Department of Health and Human Services, freezing child care payments, but also DHS, of course, sending agents to Minnesota, going through these door-to-door investigations of locations suspected of fraud. You have the Small Business Association halting grant payments to Minnesota, suspending borrowers due to $400 million also suspected fraud activity. HUD dispatching a team to investigate housing fraud. So this is not only a whole of administration approach where we are really looking at all angles of this, because as you said, this was a major initiative tackling waste, fraud, and abuse across our government that this president was sent to Washington to tackle. But we need to make sure that we are, again, holding those bad actors accountable. And so this new position at the Department of Justice, they're going to oversee this multi-district, multi-agency fraud investigation, making sure that we're providing all of these entities the resources they need to make sure we are cracking down on this rampant issue. And again, making sure that these really crucial benefits that are intended to serve American citizens are truly going to Americans as they were intended to do.
And Anna, and by the way, folks, we have Anna Kelly, who's the White House Deputy Press Secretary, with us today. Anna, you know, the other part of this, when you look at what happened in Minnesota, and it will be investigated, we'll get all of the findings here. But the reality is, for me, this goes back to a simple thing. When a government agent, a member of law enforcement, tells you to turn your car off and get out of your car, you turn your car off and you get out of your car, and there's a very good chance, about 100% chance, you're going to be able to walk away from that incident here. But this is someone who violated the law, who was trying to impede the work of these law enforcement agents. The media is trying to portray her as some sort of an innocent protester. We all saw the videos, and we know what went down, and I'm just so happy the vice president called out the press corps on their narrative they're trying to advance here.
It's true, and it's for any of your viewers who or listeners who might have missed it. I think it was, I agree, a totally astounding thing to watch, because I think what he pointed out is the fact that we've known this really for years, right? The listeners of your show have, that the media will do anything to not only undermine President Trump, undermine Republicans, but unfortunately they are truly so deranged that they will also just go to bat for professional agitators and go to bat against our law enforcement. And this president is absolutely never doing that. This president will always back our brave law enforcement agents. That includes our ICE officers, who, of course, are in Minnesota to ensure that our immigration laws are being followed. These are illegal criminals who entered our country against our immigration laws, many of them criminals, rapists, murderers from places like Maduro's Venezuela and Trinidad and Tobago gang members. So, again, the president was sent with a mandate to tackle this rampant immigration issue, and we will always back our brave law enforcement and ICE officers, and certainly that officer involved in the incident in Minnesota who was literally being rammed with a vehicle and trying to protect himself.
And it wasn't the first time, the poor guy. I mean, this is awful. And again, it's the policies and the rhetoric coming from the left that's putting a target on all of these agents that are just out there trying to keep Americans safe. You know, Anna, I want to mention these stats. So Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, commemorating the 100 days of the Memphis Safe Task Force that was implemented by our great president, nearly 5,000 arrests, 800 illegal guns seized, over 130 missing children located, and the most violent city in America. Crime is down 70% thanks to our president and the efforts of this administration. That has to be so exciting for the administration to see these amazing results.
Well, what a concept for Democrats, right? The fact that when you surge law enforcement, when you allow our law enforcement officers also to do their job to protect American citizens, it pays off in a major way. And of course, he's incredibly proud. I know the president of the results that you laid out in Memphis, in Washington, D.C., of course. I mean, it is absolutely astounding that just in August, we had a capital city. This should be our nation's capital. The beacon of the entire country was absolutely being wreaked havoc upon by these violent criminals. Now that's no longer the case. And so this president has proven the impact of when you leverage the full might of our nation's law enforcement, when you surge those efforts to make sure that people are safer, that's paying off. And you're seeing it, as you said, in your city of Memphis and all across the country.
All right. Well, Anna, we just really appreciate the great work you guys are doing. And I know it's tough dealing with the press every day, but it's a great job you have. And I hope you're taking a lot of notes. You're going to be able to write a great book one of these days.
Well, it is truly an honor to serve at the pleasure of our president, Todd. I'll say that. And we are happy to call out the fake news whenever we see it. But again, luckily, I think the American people see through it, and they trust that our president is truly making America great again every single day.
No doubt about that. All right, everybody. White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly, great American patriot. Anna, God bless. Be safe.
God bless. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Great team there at the White House Comms Department. And for years, I've been doing this 30 years, ladies and 30 years I've been doing this. And how many times have we said over and over again, if we just had Republicans that would be willing to punch back when the media tries to take cheap shots, we've got that now. And I don't know about you, but I am so happy with the incredible work being done out of that comms team right now. Well done, Caroline Levitt, Stephen Chung, the whole team over there. They're just doing some great work. All right. Real quick, let's try to work in a call here before we go to break. North Carolina, the talk station. John is on the line. Hi, John. What's going on?
Look, it came to my mind yesterday hearing Tim Walz say this was preventable. So why didn't he use his executive power as the governor of that great state and call out the National Guard and put them around the outside of the perimeter of those ICE agents and tell the crowd to stay away from them? And this would never happen. It was his fault, not nobody else's.
Well, not only that, John, there was reporting yesterday that Minneapolis police were told to stand down and not even intervene. And I want to give you an illustration here real quick. So we had a situation where there was some sort of an altercation, a confrontation, all verbal, nothing physical, outside a restaurant in Memphis with the restaurant owner and the National Guard. They asked for and received immediate backup from the Memphis Police Department. That did not happen in Minneapolis with the Minneapolis PD. So to your point, not only is the governor responsible, I think you could make the argument the mayor of Minneapolis is responsible too.
Well, the mayor and Tim Walz and all the Somalians that need to be gone, bring in that Venezuela oil tanker, let them right on top of it, and take them back through the Suez Canal back to Somalia. They won't run out of gas that way.
John, it's actually a great idea, and you're saving money for the taxpayer. That is so very thoughtful of you, John. God bless you. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Cindy in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And Cindy, I understand you're a combat veteran.
Yes, I served in the United States Marine Corps for 7 years, and I was in Desert Storm. And I just wanted to say one real quick thing. So when we were over there, I said something to our intelligence officer. I asked him, I said, how am I supposed to know who's the enemy? And you know what he told me? He said, the one that's pointing their rifle at you, that's your enemy. That's the one that you shoot. So that's how I know how I would have handled the situation exactly the same. If somebody's trying to kill me, I'm trained to protect myself and anybody that I care about around me.
Well, I would say, Cindy, that this ICE agent actually practiced restraint here. As far as I could tell, there was only one gunshot fired, one bullet hole in the in the windshield of the vehicle. And then immediately afterwards, they did what they are trained to do, which is to provide CPR and try to save the person's life. But at the end of the day, and Cindy, there's a mitigating circumstance here, is that this guy had already survived a very similar attack that left him seriously injured.
Yeah, so that makes it even worse for him. And, you know, I think that they handled it well. It's sad about the whole thing happening, but I do not blame the ICE agents for what they did or what he did. And a lot of people that are out there that are blaming them and blaming Trump, of course, for everything that happens, they just have this fake news that they're just spewing out all this negative things and propaganda about, you know, Trump and all the supporters and all the voters of him. And, I've been having a lot inundated today with a lot of liberal comments of people contacting me, you know, saying that, you know, it was their fault and she didn't do anything wrong. And somebody told me that she was shot when she was driving away. And I'm like, well, then how was she shot in the face if she was driving away? And four times in the face, that's what I was told. So, you know, they're just making up their own little things, and I was called a terrorist, too. So, you know, you never know what they're going to say. But, yeah, I just want to make that quick statement because that was – it kind of hit me when he said that to me. And that's kind of at one point when it was like, okay, this is, like, for real. You know, this can happen. So this is what I have to do.
Yes, Cindy. No, you're absolutely right, and I appreciate you providing that perspective. And you have a perspective that many of us would not have. But again, when you're pointing your vehicle at an ICE agent, that vehicle becomes a weapon, and you know at that point, all bets are off. You know that training, that instinct is going to kick in, and that's what happened here. Cindy, and God bless you for calling in, and thank you so much for serving our great nation. We certainly appreciate you. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. He's blasted headphones. Dylan, I'm losing it.
Bunch.
It's ridiculous.
They do like to fold within themselves.
These newfangled headphones are folding in, and it takes me forever to try to figure them out.
It's for storage. It's like you can carry it around.
I don't know.
Not for the quick draw.
So I'm catching some flack here, ladies and gentlemen, on the interwebs, because I pointed out the fact that the attacker in Minneapolis is a Lebanese woman. She was not driving a Subaru. I just want to say that. But let me say this, and people are saying, why would you do that? Well, for one thing, I have to explain that her wife was the one filming all of this, but it also goes back to a very important issue, and that issue is the following, that this particular LGBT group, A large swath has been weaponized. And that's why you've got the transgender crowd, and they're going out there. And I mean, just about every terrorist attack we've had lately has been conducted by somebody in that particular demographic. So I'm not doing it to mock anybody. I'm just saying this is who. And by the way, aren't we supposed to? Aren't they telling us? The whole movement tells us that we should be celebrating the fact that this is who they go to bed with. So I'm just saying. But regardless, this was an unhinged person. And I say that because this woman spent the entire day, and again, she's got children. Why was she out there in the first place? Why was she out there stalking these ICE agents? Who does that? Who in their right mind would do something like that? So I don't know about you and your family. I really don't. But as for me and my house, we support ICE. And we believe that the men and women of the Immigration Customs Enforcement Division, as well as every other law enforcement agency out there, we believe that they're doing good, that they're out there taking a stand so that all of us can, well, be safe, so that we don't have to worry about these illegals that are lurking about in our neighborhoods. It's going to get ugly, folks. I'm just telling you, based on the questions that J.D. Vance was getting from the media, and it wasn't just one question. There were a lot of questions, a lot of questions. So their narrative is, and I just want to prepare you so when you watch the evening news tonight, you'll understand where these folks are coming from. They believe that the ICE agents intentionally sought out and assassinated this woman. That's what they're going. That's their narrative that's coming out of the mainstream media. Here's what Vice President J.D. Vance said. I want every ICE officer to know that their president, vice president, and the entire administration stands behind them. To the radicals assaulting them, doxing them, threatening them, congratulations. We're going to work even harder to enforce the law. So I hope if you see an ICE agent, if you see a federal officer working, doing some operations in your neighborhood, maybe they're taking a break. They're out at, I don't know, the Piccadilly or the McDonald's. Go over and thank them. Shake their hand and let them know that you're praying for them and you've got their back. They need to hear that. And honestly, that's all law enforcement. They need to, because it can get tough, right? I mean, every day the media is attacking you, cutting you down. And I think all of us need to go above and beyond to let these law enforcement officers, whether it's your local police department or dog catcher, to know that we've got their back and we stand alongside them. All right, we got to leave it there, folks. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. And we're back at it tomorrow on the radio right here, noon o'clock Eastern. Get out there, be safe, be good, America.